Welcome to the Right Division Network podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word rightly divided. And we're going to pick up here in our study through the book of 1 Thessalonians. We're here in chapter number 1, and today we're going to be starting verse number 9, which says, "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God." So here the Apostle Paul, he's been talking to this church at Thessalonica and talking about this ministry that they've had and how they are this pattern for other individuals. He's now going to start speak here and talk about, "For they themselves show of us." He's starting to talk about these individuals who have been watching this example and what it is that's experiencing with them. And this is really that responsibility that we have, because the entire world, when we see the description that the Apostle Paul gives of individuals prior to salvation, let's go over to Ephesians chapter number 2, where we'll see the Apostle Paul use a term to describe individuals and their condition prior to receiving the gospel. And here in Ephesians chapter number 2, we're going to read verse number 2, and it says, "Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." The term "the children of disobedience" is the term that describes the individuals who are living today that have not put their trust in the gospel message, have not put their trust in the fact that Christ died for their sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures, and believing in that and that alone for salvation. That's the issue of, and you see the Apostle Paul will use terms talking about that idea of obeying the gospel, or using that term obey or obedience that individuals, you know, have. That's all related to that gospel message, putting the trust in what that says is true. The opposite of that is disobedience, and that's the condition that this lost world is in today. And so we, in our functioning, our responsibility ends up looking like, let's go over to Philippians chapter number 2 now, and we'll see Paul in his epistle to the church at Philippi is going to say something about the lifestyle of the believer today. And here in Philippians chapter number 2, we'll start here to kind of get the context of what's being said here. Let's start here, verse number 12. It says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world." Now, I always say when we're looking at this passage of the fact that it doesn't take very long to look at this world, or look at even just specifically our nation, to truly be able to see that definition of a crooked and perverse nation is actually what's describing what's going on today, and how the believers are really functioning as that idea of functioning as shining as lights in the world, because that's, you know, what we are. We're lights in this world that's really darkness, the disobedience to God, because God is light, and the things of God are light that are shining in the darkness of things. And that's why when Paul in our text starts talking about how they themselves show of us, that it's the individuals looking at what is going on with these individuals and seeing that. And let's go back over to 1 Thessalonians, but I want to go to chapter 2 for a second here, because we see Paul talking about something related to this entrance here. And in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2, here read here verse number 1. It says, "For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain." That the entrance of Paul, Silas, and Timothy, it was not empty, it wasn't in vain. There was a prophet that was supposed to come as a result of the Apostle Paul being there with them, ministering to them, giving them the information that they need, so that way they would be able to understand the life that they're supposed to live, which the Apostle Paul describes as. I want to go over to 1 Corinthians now. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 11. Well, we're going to read here a description of what the Apostle Paul says related to the life that we're supposed to live here. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, I want to read here verse number 1. It says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." So, our responsibility is that we are to follow the Apostle Paul in the exact same manner that he followed Christ. Now, we know that the Apostle Paul did not follow the Lord Jesus Christ in the manner that's laid out in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You know, he was opposed to that message that was going on. We see him in the early part of Acts as they were continuing to preach this message, that he's the one who's leading the individuals who are standing up to what's going on in chapter number 7 of the book of Acts, and Stephen preaching to the nation of Israel, telling them about all of their failures, offering the kingdom to them. And it's the Apostle Paul, who's known as Saul at that time, who's leading the opposition to that. It says that he was consenting unto Stephen's death. You see him after that, he's going out and grabbing people to haul them off into prison because of their belief. He has nothing to do with the things in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You know, and that's why it's so unfortunate today when individuals try to turn the information that's there into what is supposed to be for them. You know, there was a number of years ago, there was a movement, and you know, everyone had these little bracelets on that you had the letters WWJD. What would Jesus do? And the answer to that was always to go back into Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to try to find the information that the individual would need to solve whatever the issue is. Now, the true answer of what the Lord Jesus Christ would say to do today would be to follow the verse that we just read here, which says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." And the idea that we should be following the Apostle Paul and following what he's doing in order to be doing what the Lord Jesus Christ would be saying for us to do. In fact, we see another description of it. So we go over to 1 Timothy chapter number 1. And we're going to see here in 1 Timothy chapter number 1, the Apostle Paul here. We're going to read verses 15 and 16 of 1 Timothy chapter number 1, which says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first, Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now here we have the Apostle Paul, you know, talking about how the Lord Jesus Christ came to save sinners. He calls himself the chief or the foremost of sinners, and then starts talking about how the Apostle Paul is a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now, the pattern of the Apostle Paul is not the pattern of his salvation. You know, it's not that everybody has to have an Acts 9 experience, seeing the Lord Jesus Christ appearing to them in the glory of heaven in order to actually receive salvation. The pattern is the doctrine that's laid out, starting in the book of Romans, ending with the book of Philemon. That written doctrine is the pattern that individuals are supposed to be following today. That's the pattern of, you know, follow me as I followed Christ. The Apostle Paul followed the Lord Jesus Christ according to the doctrine that he received. Our responsibility is to do the exact same thing. What was happening here in the church at Thessalonica is that they were doing this exact same thing. They had accepted, and we've read the verse several times in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, and I'll just read it again very quickly here, which says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." They accepted what the Apostle Paul was teaching them. They accepted it as the word of God. And because they were accepting this as the word of God, the word of God produces faith. And we know that from Romans chapter 10, verse 17. And with faith, you know, that's what's pleasing to God. That this whole thing goes back to the idea of the pattern that we have is the information that's written here in the Word of God today. Now, the struggle that individuals have today is that they think everything is based on a true performance, doing good works, and this is how somebody is earning their salvation. And because that's what they're doing, they have a failure to truly understand exactly what it is that God is intending for individuals. They struggle with the idea of knowing that, okay, I'm saved by grace. I'm supposed to do good works. I'm supposed to be doing all these good things unto men, but I don't have to do them in order to be saved. I can make mistakes, which is something that is completely contrary to everything you see prior to what the Apostle Paul says. Because with Israel's program, it was a true thing of that if they made a mistake, they had a serious problem for themselves. And the Lord Jesus Christ even took it a step farther with them. And let's go over to Matthew here. I want to just look at what the Lord Jesus Christ said about some things of the performance of an individual. In Matthew chapter number 5. And this is where you can see how in these passages that the Lord Jesus Christ is giving them completely different information than what the Apostle Paul says for today related to how to live our life. And here in Matthew chapter number 5, we're going to start at verse number 17. It says, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments, and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, we're going to stop there for a second, because I want to focus on a few things of what we've already seen here. We see the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is saying about that he's come to fulfill the things of the law and the prophets. He's not come to destroy them. So he's not replacing any of that information here in the book of Matthew. We see that the issue of the performance of an individual related to keeping the law is completely in focus here, to the point of where it starts talking about the righteousness of the individual that's going to be responsible to whether they're going to enter into the kingdom of heaven or not. Now, that is completely opposite of what the Apostle Paul talks about related to the members of the body of Christ today. Because what happens with us is the fact that it's not our righteousness that's the issue. The fact is that we have, when it says, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. See, we're made righteous not because of anything that we've done. We're made righteous because we have the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is completely opposite from the fact of what we see here in the book of Matthew, the fact that they're actually having to perform to the point of where their righteousness is the complete question. The whole thing always comes down to when it's the performance of the individual, it's going to result in failure because man is going to fail. We know that if a person breaks one part of the law, they're guilty of the whole entire law. Now, individuals try to just make that and say that that's the Ten Commandments and say that, well, you know, if you can just keep those, which individuals can't do that anyways, but, you know, if you can just keep those 10 things, then you're going to be okay and you're going to have that righteousness. Well, those 10 commandments, that's just the essentially the introduction to the law, because there's over 600 more parts of the law. Each one of them has just as much weight in the eyes of God, to where if a person breaks one of those things, they're guilty of the whole entire law. So if a person wears a piece of clothing that's made up of more than one fabric, they're as guilty as if they had killed someone. If a person has a pork chop, they're as guilty as if they had, you know, stolen something. You know, there's no equivalent saying, well, that's just a minor issue. Breaking the law is breaking the law. But the Lord Jesus Christ, here in Matthew, took it one step farther with the nation of Israel related to the law here. And here in Matthew chapter number 5, we're going to read here, let's skip down to verse number 27. And it says, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And the idea that the Lord Jesus Christ is taking it to not even just the actions of the individual, he's taking it to what's inside of the individual, whether that's going to result in them actually doing something or even just having those thoughts of it was bad enough. And we know in the book of Matthew, it talks about how out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Because what's inside of a person is what's going to come out of an individual. That's why when you see how the Apostle Paul really looks at this idea of the responsibility that the believer has about doing these right things, you see that it all starts with the idea of the individual getting the understanding of what the Word of God actually says to them. And that's why you see the prayer that the Apostle Paul offers up for individuals. Let's go over to Colossians chapter number 1, where we'll see the Apostle Paul praying for this local assembly here. And we'll see him actually saying about them. Let's pick up here in verse number 9 of Colossians chapter number 1. It says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of saints in light." Now, when you look at this prayer and what he's talking about with them, the very first thing that he starts to pray for these individuals is the fact that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now that ties in with what the will of God is, because the will of God is that all men would be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. So God wants all individuals to receive salvation, to put their trust in the gospel, which we talked about at the beginning of this episode, the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. But he also wants individuals, once they've put their trust in that, to then grow in the knowledge of what his word says, which is what the Apostle Paul is praying for. Now, an individual's only going to get that information when they study the Word of God rightly divided, when they start to experience that renewing of the mind that the Apostle Paul talks about over in Romans chapter number 12. When those things start to occur, they're putting the doctrine in them. The result of it is going to be that they're filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And the result of it is going to be that it says, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. That the end result of taking in the doctrine is that the believer is going to then live a life where they're going to walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. The only way an individual today can be pleasing to God is by truly applying the doctrine that's laid out in the books of Romans through Philemon. This is what the individuals in Thessalonica were doing. This is what these individuals that have been witnesses to this, this is what they're seeing. And as a result of them seeing this, that it should have an impact on them. Now, what we're going to see in, as we continue on in verse 9 is that the individuals who are witnessing all this are going to see how this really had an impact on these individuals, because they're going to see a very clear demonstration of something that they were doing before they had received salvation and had the change that occurred as they took in the doctrine, from what was there before to what was there after, that there's something that they're no longer doing that was very clear that everyone would be able to see, to say, okay, now we can actually see what it is that this message is supposed to produce. And that's what we're going to actually pick up when we start our next episode. We'll continue here in, you know, looking at this verse. Now, as we close here, I just like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have information about how to join our Wednesday nights Bible study through a teleconference option. We have information about how to watch our Sunday services as, you know, as they're live. We have, you know, audio files that are uploaded, you know, about once a month. They're put on there, so that way, you know, the new messages are there. We'll have information probably in the next week or two going up as well related to the seminar that we'll be having in the beginning of October. So we'll actually have that up, and it's going to be a good time of fellowship and, you know, the teaching of the Word of God. So if you're happen to be in the Buffalo area during that time, we would love to see you. And always remember that if you ever have any questions or comments about anything in any of these broadcasts or just anything in general related to your study of the Word of God, feel free to contact us at any time. And until next time, remember that Jesus Christ is Lord.